I want to read a passage of scripture to start off, Psalm 127. Stand if you would as we read this. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb in his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege, the joy we have to be gathered together to look to your word. I pray that you will guide me tonight as I speak, that you will open our hearts to accept, our minds to understand, and Lord, help us to seek out areas in our own life that perhaps, as we look at your word, we see that we're not quite measuring it up. We're not where we should be. Give us insight into that. Give us courage to make corrections if corrections are needed. Use this time in our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, we talked about several things. We talked about the fact that children are the possession of the Lord. We talked about the fact that children are a gift from the Lord. We talked about the fact that parents have a responsibility and guardianship of a child. That is to have a biblical home, and in that we see God's protection of marriage and his protection for children, which is the family. A godly family, a mom and a dad that are striving to raise their child according to biblical principles. We started off looking at five characteristics of a biblical home. We looked at the first three. A biblical home is based on scriptural truth. A biblical home shows loving acceptance. A biblical home includes a dedication of time. So we're going to pick up now on number four. A biblical home is characterized by loving admonition. Now, we talked about loving acceptance, but, you know, there's two sides to this. There's love, which should always be present in the family relationship. There is an acceptance that should always be present. But there is, as we've already said, a place for admonition. There's a place for correction. The last part of Ephesians 6, verse 4, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Notice there's dual pillars of truth in that passage. It talks about nurture, and it talks about admonition. Now, nurture speaks to an environment of encouragement, and children need that. Admonition speaks of correctional instruction, and both of those, both aspects that are mentioned in this verse, are required to instruct our children in the ways of God. Now, the key to success in this is to provide a home where your children see firsthand that the Christian life is real in you, and that is absolutely the key. You cannot train and teach a child to do right, to respond properly to God, to love God, to serve God, if you are not exhibiting those things in your life. You know, children are great at spotting hypocrisy. I mean, they can spot that from miles away. And if we show an inconsistency between our Sunday at church life and our Monday through Saturday everyday life, this will bring a great disconnect to the heart of a child. They will not miss that. And it will certainly take away any power or impact your message to them has. You are giving them a message, but it's the wrong message. And especially a teenager is susceptible to that. We must make our words and our life match. Just as neglect and absenteeism can provoke anger in the heart of a child, so can inconsistency. And we must act out. We must live what we are teaching. You know, we also would do well to allow our children to be influenced by other godly adults. And this is especially true as they grow older. You know, I have, my own children have said, hey, I learned something today. And they'll tell me what they learned. And I'll think, you know, I've been saying that for a long time. But someone else said it, maybe a different voice, a different approach, a different perspective. But when someone else said it, they got it. They didn't get it from me, but they got it. And praise God they got it, even if it wasn't from me. So it is wise to let other godly adults have an influence in your children, and that course can be their Bible study hour teacher, youth worker, pastor, Christian school teacher, you know, a relative, friend, whatever, but someone that you know to be godly and then have a great impact on the life of your child. So we can most effectively give loving admonition with our words, our attitudes, and our actions. You know, children hear all three, but they especially notice the last two, our attitudes and our actions. So make sure that there is a consistency there. And then number five, the key here, the important issue, a home characterized by biblical authority. An overly authoritative or angry parent can wound a child. But there's the other side of that coin. An overly permissive parent can also create a lack of acceptance and create and do damage to that child. Children need boundaries. Children need direction. You know, it's kind of interesting, but you think of the school situation and you see it demonstrated. Children want boundaries. Children want direction. If you put a child in a classroom where the teacher does not have control, typically that child is going to be nervous, is going to be fearful. You put a child in a classroom where there is a maintaining of order, and it's much easier for that child to accept. They need boundaries. They need direction. They may not realize it at that time, but they need it. Studies have shown that children are happier and feel safer in a setting run by an authoritative authority, a teacher, parent, as opposed to a setting with more freedom. So on the parental side of this equation, God says parents are to be the protective authority in the life of their children. Now there's also the child side of this equation, and that is very simply stated in one word, obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So parents, you are to be the authority. Children, you are to obey. You know, it doesn't take long for a parent to find that a child is not always going to obey his authority. You know, maybe by 6 months, maybe even less than that. Even a newborn demonstrates that they have a sin nature, and that is demonstrated early in life. And this is why parents must be consistent in setting and consistent in holding to boundaries. This consistency is vital to children of all ages, preschool to teenager. You know, I was once told by someone, it was kind of an interesting setting. In fact, it was with two representatives from Bob Jones Press. One of them was training a new guy. And we were talking about Christian schools and, you know, a protective environment. And he said, well, I have a problem with that. He says, my children, now they're a little bit older, they're high school age. He says, I want to put them in an environment where they can be a testimony and get some practice in making decisions. Oh, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, certainly we want our children to be a testimony. We want them to have opportunity in making decisions, but we want them to do that in a controlled environment, a way of safety, so that if they make the wrong decision, great harm's not going to be done. Now, as a child gets older, certainly they'll make more and more of their decisions. A child leaves home, and they're making almost all their own decisions. But we want to protect our children. We want to have boundaries. We want to have an area of safety where they can experience some of this aspect of growing up and making decisions, but also there is a safety net that protects them from making decisions that can be very harmful. A study was done that it determined or investigated, that found four different parenting styles that are fairly common. One is neglectful. One is permissive, one is authoritarian, and one is authoritative. So most parenting styles, they say, will fall into one of these categories, and perhaps as we look at these, you might recognize a little bit of your own bent in this area. The first is neglectful. This parenting style is low in love, low in control. And I would suggest this is by far the most prevalent parenting style in America today. This is a parent who finds it easier to say, ask your mother, go play outside, go find something to do, quit bugging me, and then go on with whatever activity the parent was engaged in. He avoids setting boundaries, and when he does set boundaries, he ignores them when they are broken. Children are very quick to discern this type of neglect. How many of you have older children that have come back to you and said, man, there were times when I was so mad at you because you wouldn't let me do this and you wouldn't let me do that, but I want to say something now. Thank you. And what a joy. It might be rare. I don't know. That's happened with me. What a joy when that happens. Children are quick to discern this type of neglect. They take advantage of the relaxed rules. They often translate lack of attention as lack of love. Proverbs 29:15 names the danger of this parenting philosophy. It says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." So there is wisdom that is imparted in correction. "But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." A child left to himself is going to make decisions, become involved in activities that are far different than what the parent would want. The rod, correctional discipline, reproof, verbal correction. Absent these things, a child will depart from the ways of his parent. So the first parenting style we looked at is neglectful. The second is permissive. High in love, low in this control. In this home, in this situation, roles are reversed. The parent does not lead the child leads the parent. The parent is reluctant to say no. He is afraid that administering discipline will break down their relationship. And harsh discipline will. Discipline given unreasonably will, but discipline given with love will not. Being a friend to your child is not necessarily wrong, but first, the highest priority is you're not their friend, you're their father or their mother. Your child can have a lot of friends in life, but only one father and one mother, only one set of parents, and do not abdicate that role. The book of Proverbs is rich with instruction in listen to attend, as it talks about the role of a father and a mother and how a child should respond to that. In Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." The father's commandments and the law of the mother are keys to a happy, a successful life, and to full spiritual life, live in fellowship with God. The parent who fails to give commands and law to establish and enforce standards does their child a great disservice. They think they're showing love. They think they're showing compassion by letting that child have their own way. And they're allowing that child to go down a path of almost certain destruction. And they're really showing the opposite of love, of care, and concern. There is the authoritarian parent, low in love, high in control. This parent pushes his children to conformity rather than leading them to maturity. There is a focus in this home on external behavior. Nurturing the heart in growth is often neglected. A parent who leans toward this parenting model would do well to remember Ephesians 6:4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It is normal for parents to want their children to be well-behaved. I think we all do. The question is how is this best achieved? And ultimately, it is a heart issue. Discipline, instruction are necessary, but it is love that ties it all together. You know, in Colossians 3, it tells us to put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Love is that object that allows everything to come together in the Christian's life, to come together and to work, to make us what we should be. Love ties this together. Then there is the authoritative parent, high in love and high in control. And this is what we want, the parent to be in control, the parent to give that direction, the parent to set the standards. This is a parent who accepts and fulfills his role as a parent by lovingly nurturing his child's heart with love. But at the same time, training in obedience. And you know, this is not an oxymoron. You can train, discipline, and teach in love at the same time. Some people have a hard time understanding that. And as you train and teach, just as the Bible tells us, God disciplines us because he loves us. He wants us to do right. He wants us to be in a good relationship with us or with him. So he disciplines us. And that's the same thing with a parent. This parent sees the big picture. This parent ultimately directs his child's heart to the Lord. And I think the best part of this is being authoritative, but also loving, is this. It forms a relationship between the child and the parent where the needs and desires of both parties are met. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, what's good for the child or what's good for the parent. In this situation, the needs of both parties are being met. But at the same time, it retains his fellowship with his child. Training, teaching, disciplining, but spending quality time, quantity time, and showing love. God tells us his desire for earthly fathers is to display an accurate representation of our Heavenly Father. And understand this. This is where children learn about God and become to understand a relationship with God and God's love and God's holiness. They learn this from observing things in their life, especially those people they're closest to. But Psalm 103:13 tells us this. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We can see that authoritative parenting, parenting that maintains a balance of committed love and caring control, gives children an accurate picture of their Heavenly Father. Committed love and caring control. It creates a hunger in their hearts to know him. The role of a biblical authority in protecting and training children cannot be underestimated. And this is true in all aspects of childhood. In the preschool age children, they need to learn the freedom of submission and obedience. And again, the world would tell you, well, where's the freedom in submission and obedience? But there is freedom. In biblical obedience and biblical submission, there is freedom. There is safety. There is comfort in that. You know that you are safe. You are following standards that have been laid down by someone that you can trust, someone you can count on. And children need that. At elementary age, the exact nature of the boundaries change, but they still need a mom and a dad willing to hold a line for their benefit. Even teenagers need biblical authority. They need to know what is expected of them. They need their parents to define boundaries clearly. And at that age, an understanding of the reason for the boundaries is important. Now, I don't think a child ever has the right to ask a parent, why? Why should I do that? Why should I obey this? Why should I do this? But on the other hand, I think it is wise for a parent, as the child gets older, to start explaining some of the reasons for the rules. It makes it easier for them to accept. They see the reasoning behind it. They're at an age where they're starting to see things. They want to see the connection. They want to see how this works. They want to see how is this in my best interest. They need parents to hold them to these predetermined limits. And God has ordained our homes to be a safe place for our children. And we do that as we set boundaries, as we set standards, as we put in limitations. As we provide for our children a guarded home in which they can be protected, but at the same time nurtured. God has given us the blueprint in his word. How can we do this? God tells us in his word. And we get back to the point, we must be in his word, we must be studying God's word, reading God's word, filling our hearts with God's word to give us the wisdom that we need to respond properly, to act properly, to fill our role as a parent properly, and to guide our children. The guidance of a child. You know, I read Psalm 127. This is the chapter that tells us we are guardians of God's heritage, but it shifts there at the end to another analogy. It talks about an archer who carefully crafts his arrows and then skillfully releases them into the enemy lines. Verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 127. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now the bow and arrow was an important weapon used in warfare in David's day. It was a primary means of defense that they had to them. And in this setting, archers would handcraft their own arrows, and they would do so with great care and precision. Now, tell me, Don, do you make your own arrows? Okay, but I'm sure you select them carefully. What would happen, Don, if you had a crooked shaft?
Well, it won't fly very straight.
You won't hit your target, will it? How about a dull tip?
Yeah, it won't penetrate.
Yeah. A defect, be it a crooked shaft or a dull tip, could make a life or death difference in battle. The weight, the balance, the straightness of the arrow shaft would determine its accuracy and its effectiveness in battle. So as we examine the analogy, what we're being told here is this: as parents, just as an archer labored over his arrow, we are to give attention to the upbringing of our children. We are to shape their hearts. We are to shape their lives, to shape their consciences carefully and biblically. And children do require shaping. You know, wouldn't it be nice when you brought that little bundle of joy from the hospital? It was just a perfectly behaved, already trained little person. Wouldn't that be nice? It doesn't work that way. And children require shaping. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." That's a parent's role, to shape the child. You know, it's unfortunate that Solomon did not follow his own advice in this matter. He says, "I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law." We know as Solomon got a little older, he made some errors. But just the same, children are to hear the instruction of the father. They are to attend it. They are to understand it, because the father is to give good instruction, good doctrine. The instruction Solomon gave his children was not consistent with the example he left them, and that is a great failure on his part. And it's a reminder to us, you know, we must be consistent and faithful to the end. There is a tendency, perhaps, as we get older, we get a little bit tired. Children left the home, it doesn't seem important, but it is. We must be consistent to the end. There are several questions that we need to ask ourselves. Are we intentionally and biblically shaping our children? And you know what? If you fail in this, someone else or some other institution or organization will step in and take that role. If you fail as a parent, someone else will step in and shape, train, teach your child. The public school system, the government, could be a friend. But if you fail, someone else will fill that void. Are we helping them develop hearts for God? Are we helping them secure a foundation in God's truth? Are we investing time and nurture and admonition in their lives? Are we providing godly authority by way of setting boundaries? Obviously, our arrows require shaping to be effective, just as our children require shaping. But shaping is not enough. Arrows require guidance. You can have a perfect arrow, but if you don't aim for the target, it's not going to work out very well. And just as an arrow must be aimed for the target, children require direction. Again, using the analogy of an archer, when he draws back his arrow, he carefully aims, he directs the arrow towards the desired target. But it is unfortunate today that that is not happening with many children. They are left directionless. It shows in their expressions, it shows in their mannerisms, it shows in their demeanors, shows in their actions. They need a godly parent. Every child needs a godly parent with a vision for their success to give them direction. And success is defined by living a life that brings glory to God. To point their hearts first to Jesus and then to a life lived for Him. Remember this, when we train our children, or lack to train them, fail to train them, we are acting on tomorrow's leaders. And that is a significant issue. Let's draw some of this together. Our job is not what I type here makes absolutely no sense, and I don't remember what it was, so we'll go to the next point. Oh, our job is not to dictate who God made our children to be. As we looked before, and we looked at the example of Jeremiah. Remember, God had a plan for Jeremiah before he was born. God has a plan for our children. And our job is not to dictate what that plan is. Our job is to shape and direct their lives toward the purpose God has for them. We are to provide protection that nurtures and develops them, that gives direction. The time will come when they are no longer under the parents' direct control. And you know, I have found, and I trust you have too, those of you that are a little bit older, your children leave your home, but if they do know they can depend on you, if they do know they're loved, you still have a certain amount of control over them. I know they'll call, they'll ask, they'll check things, what do you think about? Of course, sometimes they're good at calling and ask for money too. But, you know, when your child leaves your home, you don't have to totally give up control. The time the child spends in your home is to be dedicated to giving them a solid foundation, a straight direction that will serve them well in their life. Value the time you have with your children. You know, it's interesting, again, in the school situation, there's so many people, parents, they want their children to skip a grade. And I had one parent ask me, can my child skip kindergarten and go right into first grade? I said, well, I don't think that would be wise. I think they need what they're going to get in kindergarten. There's certain things they learn there that I think are important. Well, if I put her in kindergarten, can she skip first grade and go right into second next year? And, you know, you just want to encourage parents. Value the time you have with them and give them the time to be children. Steward that time wisely. Pour yourself into the young life God has entrusted to your care. Before you know it, you will be releasing them for big targets and godly success. And that can only happen as if you have done your job as a parent. It is a big job, yes, but it's a job that comes with instructions in God's word. It is a job that comes with many rewards along the way. And it is a job that comes with a great reward if you have the privilege of seeing one of your children, or all of your children, any of your children, go on and serve the Lord. What a reward for the investment you put in training and raising them. Again, it is an important issue, and one that is often neglected in our society, and one that we need to be so careful and conscious about, whether we are a parent ourselves, dealing with grandchildren, giving advice to another, whatever it might be, it is an important issue. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the reminders of what being a parent is about, what we need to do, how we need to do it. I pray for your wisdom for every parent in this room. And I pray now that those that are not parents, maybe not married yet, probably will be someday, that you will give them things that they can take from here to hide in their hearts, to give them a preparation for that time comes when you bless them with a family. So guide and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.